You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from XML Financial Group. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Brett Bernstein, XML Financial Group. We've got a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Susan Apgood, President and CEO of News Generation, followed by Tom Dunlap, founding partner, Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig, Larry Rosenblum, partner, Grossberg Company, and John Magnolia, President and CEO of Magnolia Companies. Let's get to know Susan Apgood, President and CEO of News Generation first. Susan, what is News Generation? What do you guys do?
News Generation is an issue-based media relations firm, and we work to get our clients that have great issues and stories to tell on television and radio.
How large or how small is the organization, Susan?
We are 10 full-time people. Mm-hmm. And
how old is the company?
The company is 19 years old.
And how'd you get a job with this company?
I actually started the company straight out of business school at the recommendation of a client.
How old were you when you started this business?
I was 27 years old.
All right. Where are you from originally?
I am from South Orange, New Jersey.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have an older sister and a brother in between, and I'm the baby.
So you're the baby. And how'd that affect you growing up the youngest, being the baby?
I was always the role, I always took the role of the older sibling.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
I was the sort of the ringleader, the organized one, the one who always mobilized everybody to get things done.
Give me an example of how that showed up 8 to 14 years old.
Well, one big thing was I was a competitive gymnast growing up, and I was captain of the gymnastics team. And when I was 12 years old, I was state champion on balance beam in New Jersey.
All right. So tell me about your role in the team here. When you say you were captain of the team, how'd that show up? What do you mean?
My role was to really motivate people, to keep them going when their confidence was shaken. I was to bring them back up and to get their mind straight before they had their next competition.
And you remembered, give me an example of how that happened when you were doing the gymnastics and you were captain of that team.
Well, I remember there was a woman who, or young lady, who fell off the beam twice and was headed to do her next competition on the floor, which she was very good.
Yeah.
She ended up getting first place based on our team rallying behind her with my leadership.
Wow, so you caused the rallying behind her.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, what's that have to do with building this firm known as News Generation?
Well, one thing is, I think we're really very loyal-based. We have a great team that functions.
All right. So what do mom and dad do for a living?
My mom was an entrepreneur. She bought and sold magazines.
Mm-hmm. And dad?
And my dad worked in the organized crime unit for the Attorney General's office in the state of New Jersey.
So what personality trait did you pick up from your dad that worked in the Attorney General's office?
My dad was extremely loyal. He was a government worker his whole entire career and stuck with it as long as it took till he retired.
That's interesting. So you mentioned the word loyalty in your business. So, I mean, the typical, you know, I read the newspapers, and the whole problem is with marketing-related businesses, there's a lot of turnover. Do you have a lot of turnover in your business?
We do not. We have a lot of people that have been with us a long time.
Why is that?
I think because our culture is very strong, and we have a sort of a family atmosphere, and people are counting on one another to do a great job.
So you're helping motivate your team the same way you motivated the team when you were captain of the team with the gymnastics, aren't you?
Absolutely.
And you're bringing loyalty into it as well.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Brett?
So you said your mom sold magazines. So you did a crazy thing. You came out of business school and started your own business when that's not conventional. Why'd you do that?
Most of it was because I was never told I couldn't. My parents were extremely encouraging. They gave me a little bit of seed money to start the company. And I was never in an atmosphere where a young woman who's single should not be told to start a business. So I went for it with her encouragement.
What do you mean you went for it with her encouragement? What did she tell you? What are you talking about?
I drew up a business plan right out of business school as I was finishing up. And I needed $15,000 to start this business. My mom and dad said, send us a plan. We're just interested in seeing what it looks like. And I sent it to them. A couple days later, I got a check for the bottom line seed money, which was $15,430. And on the memo line of the check, it just said, good luck, go for it.
How'd that make you feel?
Amazing.
What do you mean?
They had confidence in me to know that I could do it. And they knew that they had raised me to do it well.
Was that mom or dad?
It's probably 80% mom.
Mm-hmm. They were wealthy. The $15,000 really didn't mean a lot to them, did it?
No, it didn't. It meant a lot to me, but probably not to them.
Were they really well-to-do?
No.
So the money meant something to them then. That 15 grand meant something to them, even though it also meant something to you.
Right. It definitely meant something to them, but it meant way more to me. And I did pay them back in 4 months.
You paid them back in 4 months. Why?
because I don't like being indebted to people, and I felt like it was important for me to show them that I was going to be a success right off the bat.
Have they been to your office?
Yes.
And how do you think they feel walking through your doors?
Very proud.
What do you mean?
I think that they knew I could do it, but I think to actually see it visually and to see my team and how well we work together makes them super proud.
Mm-hmm. And you have a couple folks here that work with you. What's your name?
Kelsey Oplanik.
And Kelsey, what do you do in the organization?
I'm the marketing manager.
And what's it like working with her?
It's fantastic.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
She mentioned family, a family atmosphere, and that couldn't be closer to the truth.
What do you mean by a family atmosphere? Somebody bringing pizza once a week or beer?
We're all really close personally.
You're all really close personally? Wait a minute. This is a business. What are you talking about? You're all close personally.
You know that she cares not only about your professional career, which she does, but she cares about your personal life.
How does she know? Wait, I mean, she's busy. She doesn't really ask you about your kids and your family and your boyfriends. Does she really?
Absolutely. I won an award a couple years ago, and she had secretly invited my fiancé, then fiancé, and my parents to come to the award.
What happened? Tell me this again.
I won an award for a young professional award, and I didn't know that my then fiancé, now husband, and my parents were coming all the way to D.C. For the ceremony.
So your boss invited them without you knowing it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How'd that make you feel?
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And your name is?
Jeff Gibbons.
And Jeff, what's your role in the company?
I'm the vice president.
And what do you do there?
I do everything that Susan does when she's not in the office, and I motivate the team every day.
So it sounds like you're Susan's right hand?
Yeah, I would say that.
And how long have you been working with her?
It'll be 5 years the next month.
So it sounds like it's a pretty organic relationship you guys have, as opposed to, you know, you do this, I do that, you get measured. It sounds like it's like really a relationship you got.
Yeah, we are telepathic with each other. We know what the other person's thinking when we're on phone calls, looking at each other in meetings. Not many jobs you can have are like that.
Do you argue about money every year or every quarter, you know, when you get a review and you fight about money and stuff?
I don't know if we fight. We discuss things loudly.
But you feel safe doing that?
Absolutely.
But it's not really about money between you and her. You guys really enjoy the relationship.
Absolutely. We know that the work that we're doing is impacting people's lives every day.
And you feel safe in your relationship, safe enough to be able to argue with your boss?
Absolutely. This is hopefully going to be the last job I'll ever have, because I know that there's nowhere else I'd want to work.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
And you're not looking for your next job?
Nope.
Huh. And why is that?
That's the best place I've ever worked. I've worked for some of the biggest media companies in the world, and they don't run their businesses as well as Susan does.
Why? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Because she cares about everything that we do. The topics and the work that we do impacts people's lives. And it's like Kelsey said earlier, it's a family.
But that doesn't help the clients any, does it?
Absolutely.
How?
Because they can feel that when we have meetings with them, when we're on the phone with them, our phone calls with them, our emails back and forth with them.
So you're telling me that because you guys really do have this team, and I mean it in the finest sense of the word, that it really translates through to your clients, where your clients know they're cared for. So not only don't you have a lot of turnover with your staff, you probably don't have a lot of turnover with your clients either, do you?
That's correct, yep.
Huh. So you have clients for a long time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
How interesting. Back to that word, loyalty.
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like Susan's dad's loyalty really came through, as well as her mom's creativity. Susan, how'd you learn this stuff about building a team? Where'd that come from?
Building a team was from definitely my background with my family in sports. I also then played lacrosse in high school, and then on a club team in college. So I've always been very involved. I'm an extreme extrovert. We were talking the other day, and I'm an extrovert's extrovert. And I gain my energy from people, and I love being around people. And
Wait. I thought as an entrepreneur, you're supposed to gain your energy from making money. It's money. It's blood and guts money, right?
Wrong. Oh. It is something I really do not think about until it becomes an issue. So when we're financially doing well, which is probably about 90 to 95% of the time, money is never an issue.
And you get your energy from what? From people?
People.
What are you talking? I thought the problem is people wear you down, they burn you out, they cheat you, they steal, lie.
Some do. Some do, and those people tend to suck a lot of energy out. But I feel like at News Generation, we have a great way of weeding people out that don't fit into our culture. And our culture is such that we all feed off that.
So when you bring somebody new onto the team, do you care what the existing team members think of that individual?
Absolutely.
Why? It makes the hiring process longer.
It makes it longer, but you have to be slow to hire and quick to fire.
So you're really careful who you bring into the team, huh?
Yes, we're slow to grow.
Interesting. I guess the other thing about being the boss, though, is you get to go in at 10 and leave at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, right?
No. It's funny because people say, oh, you have your own business? Or do you play golf all the time? And do you watch your kids all the time?
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm there a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm always on. Mm-hmm. But I love it. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it.
Website address for the organization?
Newsgeneration.com.
Newsgeneration.com. We've been speaking with Susan Apgood, who's the president and CEO of News Generation here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Coe, with my co-host, Brett Bernstein, XML Financial. And we'd like to introduce Tom Dunlap, founding partner of Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig. Tom, what is Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig?
We're a law firm based in the Washington, D.C. metro area with offices in New York and Atlanta and California. Mm-hmm.
And how large or how small is this firm?
We have about 70 employees with over 40 attorneys.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
I'm all over the place. So New York, Texas, Fairfax, Virginia, Switzerland.
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Roughly 10.
Uh-huh. And why were you traveling so much?
My father was the managing director of Arthur Andersen's tax group.
So you traveled not only within this country, but internationally?
Yes, a lot.
What kind of countries?
England, Switzerland, Africa.
All right,
I get it.
Yep. I get it. You did a lot of traveling there. So, you know, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one younger brother.
One younger brother. How much younger?
He's 2.5 years younger.
So what was it like? I mean, it must have been pretty difficult with a younger brother, 2.5 years younger, and you guys are moving every couple years. I mean, especially if it was international, let alone it's, I mean, go back then. What was it like 8 to 14 years old? Doing all this traveling and having to adapt, and what was that all about?
I think the biggest shift was when I was 13 and my brother and I moved to England and then immediately to Switzerland, and we both skipped a grade. So I started ninth grade at the age of 13, having to learn French to start school in the fall.
Yeah.
Over the summer.
Yeah, so. Tell us more about that. So what happened?
So my father moved to the company's world headquarters in Geneva.
Yeah.
And we went to a program for the entire summer to learn the French language because our school was half in French, half in English. And both my brother and I started school in the fall, grade ahead of where we were. So I went from 7th to 9th grade.
Oh, boy.
And it was a challenge,
language.
But it was sort of exciting, right?
7th and 9th grade in a different country, in a different language, in a different culture. Wow. So how did that prepare you to get involved with building your law firm?
Well, so if you look at things like that as opportunities and you remain flexible, I think that it kind of sort of sets the tone for the rest of your career.
What are you talking about? Well, let me ask you a question. This firm, this law firm, mm-hmm. known as Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig, is it an organically grown firm or has it grown through acquisition?
So our firm started with just myself and a partner when we both left the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew to about 10 lawyers. And then subsequently, we've had 2 or 3 law firms merge in, older firms that started in the 80s. We've attracted them kind of through our company culture and lifestyle and our approach to the law.
Well, why would two firms that have been well established, considering all the other firms they could have merged into, want to merge into you?
Well, when I went back to school to get my MBA, I approached the law firm as a business as opposed to a law firm. And that was kind of our sales pitch to other firms is that, hey, we're going to run the business for you. You can practice law. And so that's...
I don't know. I think it has something also to do with the flexibility that's built into you. I mean, you
sure.
know, the fact yeah. that... What do you mean, sure?
Well, so getting a lawyer to join your firm or 11 lawyers in one firm is like herding cats. So every lawyer needed a different deal. And so we were incredibly flexible with each and every deal we did, which was surprising to them and really beneficial for us and them. There's always a way to make something work.
Wow. Interesting. So if I was your client, one of the things you bring to my party is that you'll help me figure out a way to get things done. There's where there's a will, there's a way.
That's right. The ultimate goal is a business goal. It's not the goal of giving you law or providing a legal solution, but a business solution using the law to the extent that we can.
Huh. Interesting. What did mom and dad, so I understand what dad did for a living. What did mom do for a living?
My mother was a manager at the old Ma Bell until she decided to stay at home with us when I was born.
Mm-hmm. Fred, you have something?
Well, question, you mentioned you were in the Army. Mm-hmm. Well, how does flexibility and creativity work there? Because there isn't any.
Well, so I resigned my position as a lawyer and enlisted in the Army as a private. Went to Fort Benning Infantry School and then OCS, and ended up in a light cavalry unit. And that entire mission of that unit was to be flexible, think on your own, and be removed from the main Army. So it was our motto at the time was Semper Gumby, which was kind of a joke on Semper Fidelis, always flexible.
Uh-huh. Wow. And you mentioned that mom, tell me about mom's personality traits.
My mother is a very social person, mm-hmm. Very excellent with a bottle of Chardonnay and friends. And uh-huh. I think that's uh-huh. fortunate for me because some of that uh-huh. fell to me as kind of a skill. I think uh-huh. that helps with both attorneys and with uh-huh. clients. Uh-huh. I can sit down and have a beer, a glass of bourbon, a glass of vodka, or a uh-huh. glass of wine.
So you're flexible.
Very flexible.
And also, you also told us earlier that mom was empathetic, and I'm wondering what that has to do with building a successful law practice.
She's empathetic, and I hope, and I don't know that it passed completely well to me, but I hope that I have some empathy when I talk to people. You have to connect with people on some level, and so that's the goal in every conversation, is to connect with someone about something.
Connect with somebody about something, and you
right.
think the mom's empathy may have helped you, may have maybe in your blood inculcated you.
I think a bit. I think uh-huh. Hopefully it's a partially genetic skill.
Uh-huh. What did you get from dad that you bring into work every day?
My father managed hundreds of people in a huge national company and was very businesslike. So I got from him not only that kind of interest in doing something like that, but also I got from him the desire not to quite act in the same manner he did.
Uh-huh. When you, what were conversations around the dinner table like when you were a kid?
They were usually about sports, his day. Mm-hmm. You know,
how young were you when you got exposed to business? How young were you when you got exposed to business?
I think I was older, honestly, just listening to his business stories.
Like how young or how old were you when you got exposed to his business stories?
I was probably 13, 14, 15. I don't know how well I was listening at that age, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think that affected you?
I think later in life, I may have regretted not listening more at the time.
Yeah, I understand that story, uh-huh. What's the best part about running your own law practice?
The ability to do your own deals. So to grow the firm the way you want to and to change the way you operate and to be flexible and forward thinking.
So you're not about going in and doing the same thing every day. Every day is like a new invention for you, isn't it?
Yep. Every day and every, if somebody has a new idea, we like to try it. If somebody has a new way to deliver legal services, we like to look at it. So nothing's off the table.
It sounds to me like when you get out of bed in the morning, it's like, you know, it's like a grand experiment for you. What am I going to play with today? Everything's fun and a toy.
That's what makes it exciting. Absolutely.
And are you married or single?
I'm married and have two children.
Uh-huh. How old are your kids?
9 and 11.
Uh-huh. 9 and 11. Yeah. So what's the similarity between running a law practice and being a dad?
Well, managing people and their expectations and not knowing what the people are going to do next, despite what you do to try to manage their expectations.
At home, who wears the pants in the family, you or your wife?
My wife's also an attorney. She was a government attorney, and she was the national full-contact kickboxing champion of the United States for a while. So sometimes it's a toss-up, to be honest with you.
So are you flexible?
We're equals.
Are you flexible at home?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Flexible, equal.
Uh-huh.
Good stuff.
And I'm just wondering, this law practice, it sounds to me like it's also a hobby of yours.
The law practice is... I wouldn't call it a hobby. It's more of a passion. Or I guess it's a hobby because I like it so much.
Well, okay, passion. That's what I meant.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I used the wrong word, passion.
It's something I really like doing.
It's something you really like doing.
Yeah, it's just
cool.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
We all have fun.
What's the website address for this organization, Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig?
www.dbllawyers.com.
DBLLawyers.com. We've been speaking with Tom Dunlap, founding partner of Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Brett Bernstein, XML Financial. I'd like to introduce Larry Rosenblum, partner of Grossberg Company. Larry, what is Grossberg Company? What are you guys doing?
Grossberg Company is one of the oldest CPA firms in the region.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is the organization?
We have a headcount of about 55.
Mm-hmm. And how'd you get involved with this organization?
I forgot to ask me how old the firm is.
How'd you get involved with the organization?
I merged with a partner of mine, our firm, into Grossberg 15 years ago.
All right. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Fairlawn, New Jersey.
All right. How many brothers and sisters?
I have a younger sister and an older brother. A
younger sister and older brother. So you're in the middle. What did that do to you growing up in the middle?
I'm the prototypical middle child.
What do you mean by that?
Not that I was forgotten, but I was very shy and stayed shy for a very long time.
You were shy. And tell me about a little bit, what did mom and dad do for a living?
My dad was an insurance salesman. My mom, for our formative years, was a stay-at-home mom.
That was an insurance salesman, and mom was a stay-at-home mom. Tell me more about mom's personality traits. How would you describe mom?
Mom was is very caring lady, and I think I got a lot of my the touchy-feely part of my personality from her.
Touchy-feely part of your personality. That's interesting. Now, earlier you were telling us in the green room that when you were about 6 years old, you were giving your dad a hand doing some stuff. Tell us a little bit about that. What were you doing?
Yeah, our job was to help him with his mailings to his insureds, especially his birthday cards that he sent out to every one of, there were several thousand insureds.
So you were 6 years old and you were giving your dad a hand, sending out birthday cards to his insured. Did you realize what he was, what you were doing, what you were giving him a hand with then?
No idea. It was mostly a problem because we couldn't play outside. We had to help him stuff envelopes.
And how about mom? Tell me a little bit about, you know, some of mom's personality traits and how they may be affecting you nowadays.
Yeah, mom was had a strong attention to detail, and her way of doing things really helped set her apart from others.
Give me an example of what you mean by that.
Well, she would make sure to call people on special days. She would make sure to bring something special to someone's house when she was visiting. She would make sure to...
So your mom went beyond the call of duty. It sounds to me like you're like an interesting combination of your mom and you mentioned the mentor that you had. Tell us about your mentor and how he affected you.
Yeah, I had gone on 35 interviews when I first got out of college. I was rejected 34 times, but David Gruber was the one that hired me, and he was like a father figure to me for a very long time and was our mentor.
And what did you learn from him?
The first thing that he taught us all was what distinguished Gruber & Company from all the other accounting firms.
What was that?
He said, you know, anybody can prepare a financial statement. Anybody can process a tax return. What sets us apart is that we help our clients manage their businesses, and we're going to pin them down and get a feel for where they want to be in 5 years, and we're going to help them get there.
So he was really a forerunner. He helped you see where the accounting profession was going years in advance.
Well, in fact, I was just at a seminar recently, and this is a new initiative for CPAs to be more active in their...
And you were exposed to this years ago. That, plus it sounds like your mom doing things to set her apart. How's that affecting your practice in nowadays?
Having done this for 40 years, it's not really about making money anymore. It's more about relationships and working with people and helping them solve their problems.
I understand you wrote a book earlier. What was the title of the book, and why'd you write the book?
I had a dream that I got hit by a car and wasn't able to impart my infinite wisdom to my children. So over a 15-year period of time, I wrote a book for my children called Sure Dad, You Know Everything.
How many pages is the book?
It's over 700 pages.
It's over 700 pages, and it sounds to me like you really wanted to pass something on. You wanted to pass some wisdom along?
Well, what I call wisdom. It's a very whimsical way to... give them some ideas on how or my take on things.
Why was that important to you? Why was it important to you to spend all that time doing that?
I think it was more insanity than anything else.
And it sounds to me like you really wanted to leave something behind. You wanted to leave the wisdom behind. I mean, even though it's whimsical, it's just a real benefit to it.
Well, my hope is someday when they read this book, which will probably be years after I'm gone, mm-hmm. that they'll hear me talk to them through the pages.
Mm-hmm. Clients. Do you have clients for a long period of time?
Some of my clients go back to the first day I started 40 years ago.
Why would these clients stick with you that for that extended period of time?
I think they got the same dedication that they were used to when they first were clients of David Gruber.
So it sounds to me like you're a pretty sharing kind of guy. You're the kind of guy that really wants to help. I mean, that's one of the reasons you spent the time writing the book. I mean, it sounds to me like earlier you mentioned maybe it was cathartic and maybe it was good for you to do that. But it sounds to me like you really do go out of your way, like your mom did, like your dad did, and like David Gruber taught you, to really take care of your clients. And, you know, it's sort of in your nature, sort of in your blood.
Biggest compliment I ever got from a client was an older gentleman, and he said to me, you know, we pay you a lot of money, mm-hmm. but I sleep well at night, and that's our job.
What do you mean?
We anticipate their problems, help them solve their problems, mm-hmm. and oftentimes even before they knew they had problems.
So your clients trust you.
They have to trust us, or they don't stay clients very long.
Yeah, I mean, so you really do, you go beyond the call of duty like your mom did and like your dad did and David Gruber taught you, which was, you know, going beyond the call of duty and really being trustworthy. It's not just a, you know, gingerbread on the front end. It's the truth. It's really who you are.
Well, it helps you stand out as well.
What do you mean?
Accountants are, by their very nature, pretty boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been called boring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go out of my way to be different, but mm-hmm. I go out of my way to be myself, and I'm not afraid to do that.
What do you mean you go out of your way to be yourself? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
My voicemail message at the office mm-hmm. is different,
mm-hmm.
and my voicemail message, I think today, says something like, you've mm-hmm. reached my desk.
Mm-hmm.
My desk is very smart
mm-hmm.
and can take your messages mm-hmm. and will relay your message to mm-hmm. Larry. Mm-hmm. And I had someone call me, left mm-hmm. me a message, and mm-hmm. said, you know, I've been referred to you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to meet with you mm-hmm. to talk to you about mm-hmm. potentially taking over my work.
Yep.
And I'm already sold on you. Anybody that has that much confidence yeah. in themselves and can be themselves, I want to be my accountant.
Yeah, you're clever. It sounds to me like, you know, you're really bringing personality. What's your role in the firm?
I'm one of eight partners. Thankfully, I'm not the managing partner.
And how are you different? What do you do different than the other partners there, Larry?
I think we have a very similar approach to taking care of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of commonality to the way we approach problems mm-hmm. and the way we deal with their problems. How do I stand out? I'm the strangest uh-huh. out of all of them.
Do you get involved with helping mentor young people as well?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do. I bring them along on lots of client meetings, and I'm probably the most active outside the firm in other organizations.
Tell me what you mean by that.
I've dreamt up this mm-hmm. idea several years ago to form the local Business Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
where we honor the business titans locally,
mm-hmm.
and have used this as a opportunity in our induction ceremony each year to raise money for the universities of Maryland at Shady Grove. Since we started 5 years ago, we've raised almost $700,000 for scholarships.
Sounds to me like that clever thing's coming through again. Like, you know, the fact that your father was sending out birthday cards and your mom always went beyond the call of duty. Again, you know, you're coming up with creative, clever ideas, new ways of doing things aside from just doing accounting the same old way. My bet is when you're dealing with your clients, you're actually coming up with clever solutions. You're not just doing the numbers for them, but you're also helping, you know, when you're looking at their tax situation and other situations, you're coming up with clever ways to help them solve their problems?
It's outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
What oftentimes people will say to me is, you know, boy, my prior account never asked me those questions.
Ah, so you're not the kind of guy that just stops with the numbers. You're going to probe deeper and dig into other kinds of issues. Do you get to know your clients, like their personal lives as well?
Some of my clients have become very close friends over the years. So, yes, I get very involved. It's not just numbers for me.
So you're asking them questions about, I guess it could be everything from estate planning and what they're planning to do when they get older to their kids and how they're going to pay for the wedding and college and stuff like that?
It's that and more. Their lives are intertwined with their businesses, and my job is to help them manage that and prepare their family for whatever eventuality comes forth.
So your creativity and your ability to come up with the right questions really does serve your clients to help them anticipate. You're like the master anticipator with them.
Well, can't see everything, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
The book that you wrote, that 700-page book, how many different topics are in there?
2,500.
2,500. Sounds like me, like you are pretty creative. And you arranged them alphabetically?
It was more of an affliction, I think.
Wait, what's the website address for this organization known as Grossberg Company?
Grossberg.com.
Grossberg.com. And we've been speaking with Larry Rosenblum, partner of Grossberg Company, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is Herb Cohen with you, with my co-host Brett Bernstein, XML Financial Group. I'd like to introduce John Magnolia, President and CEO of Magnolia Companies. John, what are the Magnolia Companies? What kind of stuff are you guys doing?
We're plumbing, mechanical, and utility contractors based in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is this organization?
We're about 400 people.
400 people.
Uh-huh. We're hoping to do about $100 million this year.
Wow. And let's see, who started this business?
It was started in 1950 by my father and a gentleman by the name of James C. Brinsfield.
Gotcha. And then I understand at some point in time, Dad became ill, which brought you guys into the business. Is that fair?
Well, we were actually involved a little bit in the business, just working during the summers. And
brought you in full-time at that point.
After we graduated.
What size was the business at that point?
Volume-wise, we were probably doing $500,000 to $1 million.
So you took a business that was doing $500,000 to $1 million and brought it to a $100 million business. That's a pretty substantial growth curve. Where are you from originally?
I'm a native Washingtonian.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers and one sister.
All righty. And as a kid, what kind of sports did you play?
I played every sport that you could think of. I mean, football, basketball, baseball, swimming.
What was your role on those teams?
I was more of a role player. I was a role player, was also captain on some of the teams. Depending on which sport it was, I was better in some sports than others, but I tried to play all of them.
So you played a variety of sports, some you were better at than others, but how did you affect those teams as a player on those teams?
Try to get involved and do things outside the practice times, invite guys out to do passing routes and so forth.
Why would you do that?
Trying to get better. I always wanted to get a little better, try to get a little edge on the abilities and so forth.
So you would practice. You think you believe practice makes perfect, in other words.
Practice certainly makes you better. I don't know about perfect.
Interesting. And earlier we were talking, and you were telling me that, you know, the business is 400 people. It's going, hopefully you'll do $100 million, but it doesn't sound like you're willing to rest on your laurels. It sounds to me like it goes back to that personality trait, which is keep on trying harder, keep on trying.
Yeah, I think if you sit back and relax, you can lose sight of your business. You got to stay on top of it.
It sounds to me that's the way you were in your sports teams as well.
I would agree.
And what's interesting to me is you played a variety of sports, and some, you know, you were a really good player, and others you weren't the best player, but you still played on the team, and you tried to be valuable to the team?
Tried to contribute, yes.
So in your business nowadays, do you play a lot of different roles in your business?
I think when you're in business, especially a family business, you're involved in a lot of different areas of your business. You better know what's going on in each and every area of your business.
And it sounds like you're playing different roles. Like sometimes you're taking the lead, sometimes you're following, sometimes you're telling people they're doing a good job, sometimes you got to make some shifts in the players. It sounds to me like that sport, that what you were doing with sports way back then, is sort of like what you're doing nowadays.
Yeah, I think you have to be extremely involved, whether it's human resources or whether it's operations or whether it's the financial side or acquiring insurance, whatever it is,
What do you enjoy most about your job?
I enjoy the people. We're trying to establish a legacy in our business. We're now a third generation, which is somewhat unusual.
Yes,
especially in the construction business, but any business. We have, as far as employment goes, our people stay with our business. We're a very family-oriented business. And we have people been with us 35 and 40 years.
You mentioned that mom was gregarious. What did you mean by that?
I think she was very outgoing, invited all the kids in the neighborhood, and We always had, you know, many years ago, if you had food in your refrigerator and you had a color TV, that was a big deal.
So your mom, you were like the center of the neighborhood, it sounds like.
Yeah, I people would come to our house to eat and so forth.
Well, so mom helped cause the family home to be the center of the neighborhood. How's that translating into the business nowadays?
I think it gives you that family feeling. You want to have all people involved. You want them to make it feel like it's a home. Mm-hmm. And it's you can rely on the people next to you, and it's a nice feeling.
So do you really think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, do you really think that the home environment that you experienced as a kid has helped you build a successful business nowadays?
I would say so, yes.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, I think if you have a good family feeling, people feel comfortable, and mm-hmm. I think you get the, when they feel comfortable about whether they're mm-hmm. want to tell you about their issues or whatever, I think it makes it more enjoyable for them and their employment.
Wait. You're telling me that you've got 400 people and you're actually talking to them about their personal issues?
A lot of issues. A lot of things come to your desk. And I'm a firm believer, visit the sick, bury the dead. I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to, any hospitals I've been to for all of our employees, not just key employees, but their immediate family. When it gets into the aunts and uncles, maybe not so much, but their husbands.
You really spend your time and resources, you know, caring about your people. I mean, I read the newspapers, and it looks like, you know, if somebody doesn't do your job, you just fire them. But it doesn't sound like you operate that way.
No, our people have been there for a long time.
There's been a lot of upticks and downturns in the economy. Do you lay off a lot of people at different times?
We've had a reputation in our business that we really don't lay people off.
We'll bid
jobs and take jobs at cost in order to keep our people. Because trying to hire somebody, mm-hmm. educate them and train them, there's a real expense involved in that. Mm-hmm. So by the time that you lay somebody off or mm-hmm. you fire somebody, you've got an additional expense to educate somebody.
You're really looking at the big picture. It sounds to me like you're really looking at, you know, the human aspect of building a business.
We are, and I'm also looking at the long term aspect of running the company, not just a day to day, but 5, 10, 15, 20 years out.
Why would you be bothering about that? I thought the name of the game was make as much money as you possibly can today. I mean, if you're looking 5 or 10 years out, I bet you're spending money on stuff you don't have to spend money on.
Well, let's be honest.
Uh-huh.
Making money is an ultimate goal, mm-hmm. but it's not the only goal.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to achieve that, you got to figure the avenues to get there.
Gotcha.
And taking care of your people is one of those important avenues.
What's the website address for this organization, Magnolia Company?
www.magnoliaplumbing.com.
We've been speaking with John Magnolia, President and CEO of Magnolia Companies, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We've had the opportunity of speaking with Susan Apgood, President and CEO of News Generation First. And then we had the opportunity of speaking with Tom Dunlap, founding partner of Dunlap Bennett and Ludwig, Larry Rosenblum, partner of Grossberg Company, and most recently, John Magnolia, President and CEO of Magnolia Companies. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mr. Brett Bernstein, for co-hosting with me today. Brett, what is the website address for XML Financial Group, by the way?
XMLFG.com.
Excellent. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day.